when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, hello everybody out there. Hello everybody out there in Blood River Radio Land. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. You're listening to Eddie the Bombardier Miller with Blood River Radio. Let's see what the date is. It is September the 25th in the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ Almighty. There is no name under the sun which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ. No road leads to God Almighty except through the Son. That's for sure. And before people, I'm so doggone excited tonight. But before we go another step, we have to say a quick prayer. I hadn't thought of one, so I'm just going to have to kind of wing it from the cuff. So y'all bow your heads right quick, like, if you don't mind. Almighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Eddie Miller, Blood River Radio, the God of Political Cesspool, the God of Liberty News Radio, the God of all of our friends and brothers out there, God of all of our family and your family. Thank you, Lord, for letting us all, everyone that went down to Alabama, everybody went to Arkansas, this long, arduous, dangerous road trips we went on. Thank you for getting us all back safe and sound, Lord, even though James had a mishap, had a blowout on the way home. Thank you for getting us back home, Lord, safe and sound. Thank you for blessing our work here, God. And Lord, please never let us get full of ourselves. Never let us get egotistical or let us get proud. And Lord, please, if you will, if we start getting that way, nip it in the bud. Don't let us get bad so we have to suffer greatly. Lord, please continue to bless our work and let us bless you. Give us the ammunition. Give us the ways, the means, and the wisdom of how to do your will in fighting this godless, Christ-hating enemy that we are all fighting against. I ask this in your precious Son's name, Jesus Christ. That's right, Jesus Christ, the Lord, your Son, your only Son, who died on the cross while we were yet sinners. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. People, as you know, man, we need about 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours to cover tonight, but we don't have that. I'm going to go as quick as I can. I'll tell you what, I cannot tell you how exciting I am to be back finally home in the studio where we can get good internet service. We did all we could in Zinc, Arkansas. It was really, really hard getting out. We were up there in the middle of the Ozark Mountains. We went up there, we got there, we stayed Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and we came home Monday morning. As you know, I don't hide my light under a candle, my bushel under a candle. The highlight of the whole trip was the cross lighting. We had a glorious cross lighting. The guys all decked out in their Klan uniforms. And I'll give you briefly, just a brief summary of what that's for. All these ignorant people, our Jewish, Zionist, Luciferian, Satan worshiping enemy would say, oh, this is a hate symbol. Well, it is a hate symbol. Yes, it is to them. I'll admit it, because it represents the Lord of Jesus Christ. The lighted cross represents the light of the world. That Jesus Christ came in and showed and lighted up men's world. But see, if you look scripture says light came into the world, but men hated the light. They loved the darkness. So that's all I'll say about that. But we had a wonderful time up there. They were great. They helped some with expenses. And before speaking of expenses, we're going to go to our great donors, precious donors, Gene Andrews. I tell you what, I wouldn't trade that envelope for nothing he sent me. Gene gave us a donation. Our co-host, Ken in New York. Ken is just like, man, I tell you what, I know you've heard me say it 100 times, but Ken in New York constantly donates. Bless his sweetheart. Jim Zim in Arizona. My baby sister, Janice. I love that little lady. And her oh ugly husband, the bearded wonder, Rich. I won't say anything about Rich. Something's going on about him. I don't know. He may not want me to say anything about that. But anyway, Janice, yes, and Rich's wife, my little baby sister, she donated and helped us go to all these road trips we just talked about. And the Adams family, our precious little brother and sister, the Adams family up in Virginia. And Paul in South Carolina. And James in Washington. People, had it not been for you out there, there would be no road trips. There would be no Blood River Radio. There would be no Liberty News Radio. So we can't do it. Matter of fact, I was talking to James tonight, right before the show. James Edwards, Pappy's son. And we were reminiscing, going back all those years we've been together. And, you know, James, I was telling James got, did you know James hired the very first webmaster for Blood River Radio? He's the one that got me my webmaster. She's deceased now. We have another one. But we go back a long time. Me and James have been through thick and thin. We fought with each other, fought against each other, ate together, fought other people. There ain't much we hadn't done. Of course, old Keith is in there, too, you know. We bring him along because he's an attorney just in case something goes wrong. But anyway, that's an aside. But you know what? That's part of us. We're a family, so we have to talk about family stuff. And me and James and his wonderful family and Keith and all you people out there and Henry, we're all family. We love each other, and we really we had a wonderful time last week. Let's see, 2 weeks ago. It was the 10th and 11th. Golly. The 10th and the 11th, we were down there in Alabama. And boy, did I tell you what, I don't have time to go into that, but that was, I tell you what, we had to, it was like reinventing the wheel to get that broadcast out. But we did it. It wasn't perfect, but we did it. But anyway, people, tonight, before I do my little rant, tonight we have Miss Monica Schaefer, my little braveheart, my little baby sister from Canada. She's going to be on tonight with me the first hour. She may or may not hang on for the second hour. We never know what the heck we're going to do here on Blood River because we try to go structured, but like Rocky Marciano said, the best plans disappear. The first time you get hit in the face, the strategy goes to hell. Just like Gene Andrews said, we all, me and Gene, know the best plans go. With first time, the first gunshot, the best plans, kind of start unfolding. But like I was telling you, before we go any further, I was going to read some Bible scriptures, but I don't have any really. I really don't have time to load you down with Bible scriptures. I would love to. I gave a little talk down there in Alabama last week, and I didn't get halfway through. I wanted to read my Bible scriptures. I want to read them tonight but there's never enough time. It's the time we spoke an hour, and I swear at 20, Rick Tyler, going to pull us off. Off the stage, I think it was an hour and 6 minutes. I thought it had only been talking about 25 minutes. People, that's the God's truth. Anyway, tonight, yes, we have Monica on the first hour. And I'll just tell you a little bit more about these road trips. I went to Zinc, and just to expand a little bit on that, the food was great. And Zinc, they really love us, and they love everybody I've talked to. They know all about them. And they treat us like gold up there. The only problem is getting out. Broadcasting from the middle of the Ozark Mountains up there, it's a chore. And get this, just so you know what happened, it should be about a 5 hour drive. It's the longest 5-6 hour drive you've ever done. But the only trouble is that's if there's no wrecks on this mountain road over in the Ozarks. Well, you know, there was a wreck. I was involved in a big wreck over there. It took me about 8 hours to get there, and I was just totally worn out when we got there. So at the end of the day, there's a lot of good people up there now, but with all honesty, and I've told them they're a little bit too tame for me. I can't believe that the Klan is too tame for me. And I've told them, I don't think they realize just how desperate the situation is we're facing here in the United States. But you know, because they're still talking in terms of what they're going for the long-range plan. We don't have time for a long-range plan. Well, anyway, I'm trying to tell y'all what's happened. I'm trying to condense 3 weeks into 10 minutes because I got to hurry because we got to bring Monica in a minute. Listen, let me tell you something else. Frank Hawaii sent in a great donation. I know you don't know who Frank Hwyatt is, but listen, God knows. God knows who Frank Hwyatt is. His mother is recently deceased. Frank Hwyatt is one of my best friends. He's from up north. He's an attorney. That's all I can say. But he is a wonderful man. I know some of you people probably know who I'm talking about, but I surely didn't want to leave his name out. In fact, I had it in red right here, not to leave that out. But he donates every quarter. But please pray for him and his mother. Oh, I got to tell you one more thing. I kind of toot my own horn a little bit. Can you believe this? I was talking to David Duke last week. We saw, you know, we're brothers. Me and him and James talked a lot, and along with Sam Dixon. And Hunter Wallace and all these other people down there, and little Matt, my little son boy, little Matt the Mole. Well, me and Matt the Mole, we had to have a little bit of that rheumatism medicine down there last week. But it was blessed by the Baptist Pope and the Mormon Pope, so don't worry, we were legal. And anyway, David Duke actually said it would be good if he'd keep me around because I would draw some of the heat off him. He said that I made him look like a moderate. He really said that. I said, well, I'll take that as a compliment, son. But anyway, yeah, if you can make David Duke, I'm probably a little bit more combative than David Duke is, more militant. I'm more in the mold, or Dr. Hill, since I'm older, Dr. Hill is more in the mold of the Bombardier. But, yeah, I believe in getting after it and kicking some ass. Yeah, anyway, people, I can't believe we're running out of time already. When we come back, I'm throwing this plan away, and we're going to bring Miss Monica Schaefer on, and I'm going to bounce some stuff off of her. So hold on to your seats, people. We'll be right back with the great, the one and only, my baby sister, Miss Braveheart, Monica Schaefer.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Well, dear people, thank you for holding on to my jibber-jabber. I'm so excited, and like I was saying, we need to go to 3 hours because, we just have more to handle. We're talking to this donor. I don't know. He said if he comes up with the money, we may go 3 hours. It's a hell of a lot of work. I would really rather go keep the 2 hours and maybe do it 1 or 2 hours during the week like me and James used to do. But anyway, by the way, speaking of James, please pray for his parents. His parents are down with COVID. I mean, it's just one thing after another with that boy. We try to keep him on the straight and narrow, but bless his heart, he's got three kids. You know how kids are; they're always sick, and his parents are sick this week. So please keep them in your prayers, if you will. And by the way, people, we got Monica, Miss Monica Owen. Before I start grilling her and running stuff past her, we'll get Miss Monica, Miss Braveheart, my little sister, to say hello. Say hello to everybody, Miss Braveheart.
Hello, and it's wonderful to be back on your show, Eddie. I look forward to talking about all kinds of interesting things happening and whatever you want to talk about, really.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm junking these Bible scriptures that I was going to read because I'm just going to go straight to some of what I call the solutions, if I can find them. I think I'll have them over here. I'm just going to read a couple of these solutions, and I'm putting like 3 weeks into like three for 4 minutes, and I'm putting it. This is part of the speech I didn't get to in Alabama last week. And some of these quotes, I'm going to read these quotes like rapid fire machine gun, and then I'll shut up and let you respond to them, Miss Monica. Miss Braveheart, and some of these people have heard me read 100 times, but I got to read this all. And this one, on my speech, this was under, I had them outlined under solutions. And then after I get through covering what these guys wanted to do for solutions, and the solutions are to combat the Luciferian, Bolshevik, Jewish, Zionist, world communist takeover that we're suffering through right now. This is how you combat it. Okay, here's one of my heroes, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, said. I know you heard it 100 times, but listen, bear with me. I love this quote. And how we burned in the camps later thinking, what would things have been like if every security operative, when he went out at night to make an arrest, had been uncertain whether he would return alive and had to say goodbye to his family? Or if during periods of mass arrests, as for example in Leningrad, when they arrested a quarter of the entire city, people had not sat there in their lairs, paling with terror at every bang at the downstairs door and at every step on the staircase, but had understood they had nothing left to lose. And that's where we are now, precious people. We have nothing left to lose, by God. That's my quote. And had boldly set up in the downstairs hall an ambush of half a dozen people with axes, hammers, pokers, or whatever else was with hand. The organs would very quickly have suffered a shortage of officers and transport. And notwithstanding all of Stalin's thirst, the cursed machine would have ground to a halt if we didn't love freedom enough, and even more, we had no awareness of the real situation. We purely and simply deserve everything that happened to us afterward, and I'll say amen. That's one guy's solution. Here's another guy's solution. The Satan-worshipping Winston Churchill, but he had this one right on this one. He says, Winston Churchill said, and this is for all you peaceniks out there, if you will not fight for right when you can easily win without bloodshed, if you will not fight when victory is sure and not too costly, you may come to the moment when you will have to fight with all the odds against you and only a precarious chance of survival. But wait, there may be even a worse case. You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory because it is better to perish than to live as slaves. That was Winston Churchill's. And get this, people. He didn't say, we got to worry about raising our voice. We can't turn off these precious little darlings in the alt-right and scare them because we've got to, if we just keep preaching to them another 100 years, maybe we can get them to wake up. You know, because after all, Ferguson didn't, Missouri didn't wake them up. Seattle, Washington wouldn't wake them up. Portland, Oregon, Minneapolis, St. Paul, name it, the burning down of Chicago. That didn't wake the precious little darlings up. So we have to keep preaching to them. But anyway, I'm getting on the rabbit trail. Okay, here we go. Here's another one. These are solutions, people, and I'm going to give you mine at the last. If you love wealth greater than liberty, the tranquility of servitude greater than the emanating contest of freedom, go home from us in peace. Crouch down and lick the hands that feed you. May your chains set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you were our countrymen. And I'll second and third that. They never were our countrymen to begin with. That was Sam Adams, 1776. General Nick Glastovic said that History is written by the victors. The truth is written by the fearless. He also said, an unspoken truth is worse than a lie. That was General Nick Glastovic, May of 2021. You'll hear me repeat that all the time. Also, if not us, who will? Also, Nick Glastovic said that an unspoken truth is worse than a lie, and that apathy is the new atheism. Okay, my solution is, people, is we give them the black flag. By God, we raise the black flag. No quarter. And quit listening to all these peaceniks say, oh, we have to seek out peace, peace, peace. But I'm going to tell you what. To repeat, all the old dead white people in Greece and the Chinese guy, Sun Tzu, that everybody likes, whatever his name is, like to quote, and Nathan Bedford Forrest, if you want war, then prepare for peace. Now, I turned it around. Because if that has to be true, if you, the dead white people in Greece, Miss Monica, said that if you want peace, prepare for war. Prepare for war if you want peace. So I say, if you want war, if you want to go to the concentration camps, then sit on your ass and preach peace, peace, and preach. Never raise your voice. Never insult any of these precious little darlings sitting on the fence that won't come over our side. Never turn anybody off because they're never coming to come to you. They're never going to come on our side anyway. And Miss Monica, I'm going to wind up with just a couple of practical things because we just don't have enough time. Dr. Hill said, and I agree with him, every man, every woman has to get yourself individual preparedness. That's physical, mental, logistics, food, ammunition, et cetera, et cetera. You can go to the county, try to get you a constitutional sheriff, a constitutional militia, a constitutional posse, a constitutional court system. But none of that is going to work without guts, without courage that we were sadly missing. And when lastly, I'm going from memory now, Miss Monica, Alexander Solzhenitsyn said once when he came to the Europe and the United States and Canada, et cetera, he said the one thing that jumped out with him, and I'm paraphrasing, with like a Roman candle exploding in a dark coal mine, was the lack of courage and backbone in the Western man. Miss Monica, you pick up the torch and go with it, sister.
Okay, thank you.
What do you think about what I said?
Oh, there was so much there in all those quotes, and I don't even know where to start. But okay, I'll start here. We are at war. I mean, people have to get that through their heads that we are in a war. Now, we didn't start this war. We didn't want this war, but we are in a war. So for those people, like you say, the preaching, you know, peace and just, you know, talk and nice and all that, well, we're in a war and they are trying to kill us. And the quote by Churchill, I'm quite curious when he spoke that and to whom, and because, you know, obviously he was an enemy of the people. He was a puppet, a plaything of the Jews and a drunkard and whatnot. So I found that quote quite surprising. And maybe you can answer that and then I can carry on.
I wish I could. All I know is he hated us. He hated white people. I know that he hated Christians. And that's probably who he was talking about. You know, he made those wonderful speeches. We'll fight in the hills. We'll fight on the beach. We'll fight on the landing beaches. But he knew who was going to be doing the fight. He knew that the American Anglo-Saxon Gentile boys were going to be splitting oceans of blood for them. He knew he was never going to suffer a shot in anger. That's for damn sure. I think he probably did that during the Battle of Britain, the so-called Battle of Britain. Probably. I would have to say, I guess.
Anyway, I'd like to just talk about why is it that they are targeting the white race? And I think probably most people by now, even if they're not awake to agenda and whatnot, that they do get the sense that the white race is being attacked and targeted. I guess I'll carry on after the break with what I wanted to say on that, Eddie.
Yeah, when you come back, kick some butt. Don't hold back, Miss Sister Blackheart. I know you won't hold back. We'll be right back, people, with me, the Bombardier, and my sister, little Miss Braveheart. Hang on.
Thank you. pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. Republican U.S. Representative Tony Gonzalez of Texas and 38 of his House Republican colleagues introduced a resolution on Friday urging the Biden administration to fulfill its obligation to fully enforce federal immigration laws in response to the migrant surge in Del Rio. Gonzalez says most of the Haitians were not sent back to Haiti.
Out of these 15,000 migrants that were under there, about 2,000 got sent back to Haiti. That means 13,000 were processed and released into the United States.
Norway will end all COVID-19 related restrictions starting Saturday, the government announced, joining a growing list of countries and states that have removed pandemic curbs. Now the time has come to return to a normal daily life. This is USA Radio News.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you can get both, why not? Especially when it comes to healthcare. And that's MediShare. You get both. The typical family saves $500 a month switching to MediShare. And that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. It's because MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge PPO network. So yeah, really, you could save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. If you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. Here is the number you need. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi slammed the cowards of the Supreme Court for the dark of night Texas abortion law decision as the House passed the Women's Health Protection Act.
What the Supreme Court did was cowardly, a cowardly dark of night decision, to allow that bill to go into effect. How could it be?
The U.S. House of Representatives approved legislation on Friday to protect abortion services against growing Republican-backed state restrictions, including a Texas law that imposes a near-total ban on abortion, but the bill is unlikely to pass the Senate. The U.S. Department of State said China is attempting to divert attention from its own bad conduct in Hong Kong by accusing the United States of interfering in city affairs. The statement comes after China published a list of people responsible for the alleged interference. This is USA Radio News.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to say
somebody. Well, dear Blood River Radio family, God knows we love you. God knows we couldn't do any of this without you, without your great contributions. But anyway, as you well know, and just in case one or two people out there just now tuning in, we have Miss Monica Schaefer, Miss Braveheart, none braver than my baby sister, Miss Monica Braveheart. So continue on, Miss Monica, and tell the audience what you were talking about before we went to that break.
Thanks, Eddie. I was just starting to say, why are the whites being targeted like we are? And I think most people listening to this are well aware of that. There's a war on whiteness. It's because the white race has always been the biggest obstacle to Jewish power. Now, this is such a paradox because we've also been their best host. So this is the parasitic relationship between, well, parasite and host. They have dwelt among white nations and been kicked out time after time after time. And it's not because we're born with some genetic default, like they try to make it sound like these days. They say anti-Semitism is a mental illness, which is, you know, the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, but they will twist and turn everything. And so if when the people wake up and realize what's going on and that they've been subverted and they're being destroyed from the enemy within, then they agitate to get rid of this parasite. So I just about did a flip of the word there. So this parasite, yeah, they've been kicked out. And so now they're really in trying to pull the end game on us. But, you know, when the white people finally do rise, and this has happened before in history, I don't want anybody to think that there is no hope or no future, because that is what the parasite wants us to think. We will win this hands down. And, you know, I'll just quote my brother a little bit about on this, because he writes letters and sometimes he's writing things that the recipients of the letters, and so it's not just me receiving these letters, others, they forward these letters to me. And they just are incredulous. How can he be so optimistic that, you know, all this is going to be over soon, this corona crap is going to be over soon, and we're going to win this hands down? And what Alfred says is, look, our opponents, this is what they do. They project their desired outcome, and their desired outcome, well, we don't want to go there, right? They want to destroy us and kill us. And so they project this narrative out there that really we should just give up and roll over because they've got it all done and sewn up. And, you know, there's a lot of controlled opposition out there, people who are telling a lot of good truth. And one of the telltale signs that they might be controlled opposition is when you're listening to them and all you feel at the end of what they've told you is no hope, that, oh, you know, we just should just give up because we are doomed. No, absolutely not. We have been down before, and yeah, they've knocked us down, but you know what? We are shaking off the dirt, getting up, rising up. And what I think is the crunch, the key point that is causing this giant awakening to happen is the children. They are going after our children.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll let you jump in there, Eddie. I mean, I'm getting
So right. Yeah. When they start herding up thousands of children in sports stadiums in Australia, and they tell the parents, bring your children here or there's going to be hell to pay. But after all of you stupid Aussies have disarmed yourself. You turned your guns in, so we know you're just like a bunch of sheep. But you're going to bring your children here. You're going to go into the sports stadium. The parents are not allowed to come in, and we're going to vaccinate your little darlings. And that's what they did, and a lot of them have died, more than we would know. And that's coming here, people. That is absolutely, it's already here in the beginning stages. And here, to answer some of Miss Monica's questions, I had all these scriptures. This gives me a perfect segue into some of these scriptures. Because, listen, this enemy had just come around today, or say 100 years ago, 500 years ago. They've been here since the Garden of Eden. The enemy has actually been here since the Garden of Eden. Here's what they are. I'm going to start off. This is first, let me see here. 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter. And I'll make this quick. This is who we fight. It says, for ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Even as they have suffered from the Jews, who both kill the Lord Jesus Christ, they kill their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and they are contrary to all men. Also, by the way, this is King James Version. King James Version. Ephesians 6. Sixth chapter of Ephesians. Chapter, come down to sixth verse. Here we go. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Get that, people? We don't fight against the prince of blood. Just like we said before, God works through men. He uses men to do his work. So does Satan. So we're even though we're wrestling against these Jews and these Jewish people, their Jewish followers, their plebiscites. Excuse this hack. We fight against powers, against the rulers of darkness, of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. How do you defeat them? I won't read the whole thing over. You put on his whole armor and you defeat them through faith. Through faith, people. Here we go. I'm going to read these two more real quickly. Because I want you to know we're identifying who the enemy is. It says, this right here is the first John, 1 John chapter 2. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father. Who is it that denies that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? Who is it that says that Jesus is boiling in excrement and feces and semen? Who is it that said that Jesus Christ was born of a whore on her menstrual cycle? It wasn't Gentiles, people. It was these precious Jews that all you Southern Baptists worship and all you other people in these churches that have been taken over. I'll give you one more, a couple more. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look for to yourself that you do not lose those things which we have wrought, but we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, listen to this, people, whosoever transgresseth and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you that bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of the devil. You don't even supposed to associate with these scallywags. This will be the last one. I'm going to cut this one short. This is one of the hardest hitting. This is John 8, St. John 8, 8th chapter. I'll skip on down to verse 44. He's speaking right at the Jews because I'm skipping from 37 all the way down to 44. 44. He's talking to the Jews right in their face. The Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, the whole lot. Ye, this is Jesus talking to the Jews. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh of the lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He's a murderer from the beginning. That's who we're fighting from day one. Ever since Christ was on earth, that's who we're fighting now, Miss Monica. And I hope I didn't take up too much time. Continue on, dear sister.
Yeah, it's exactly right. I mean, you know, we learned in school that the Jews were the chosen people. What they omitted to tell us is, yes, they are the chosen people of their God, who is Satan. I mean, this is absolutely anti-life, anti-God, anti-everything that is beautiful on this earth is what the Jews represent, because they are the destroyers, and they say so themselves. This is not just, you know, me making this up out of thin air just because I might not like what they're doing. No, they say it. They've said it many times that, you know, I wish I could pull up a direct, you know, name and to quote a rabbi directly, but they've said it where, yeah, we are the destroyers. You can never satisfy us. Everything you create, we destroy. So earlier I was talking about why they hate the white race so much, but at the same time, I love the white race, because they're not going to get much as a parasite out of a race in the middle of Africa that does not know how to create anything, not even the wheel, let alone...
Sister Monica, we got to go to a break. I don't know if you can hear the music. We have to go to a break, dear.
Okay.
Right back. People, hang on to your seats. We're going back to Sister Monica. She's going to take up this last segment. Be right back.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Go ahead, make my day.
Well, dear people, we're going to go right straight back to Miss Monica, my dear little sister, Miss Braveheart. Go ahead, Miss Monica.
Well, earlier in the show, you were talking about solutions, and that's what I would like to talk about as well. And, you know, earlier I also said about what our opponent does. They project their desired outcome, which tends to leave our people hopeless. And that is absolutely what we have to combat. And what we can do is project our desired outcome, which is, of course, that we will win, and we will win. Now, there's no general that takes his troops to war saying, I think we're going to lose, but let's go anyway. And, you know, probably most of us will die, or maybe all of us will die and we're going to lose. No, that's absolutely not how anybody would win a war. And like I said, we're in a war. We will win this war hands down. And we have won in the past and we will win again. Now, one of your quotes talked about nothing to lose, like Solzhenitsyn, you know, when he was talking about if only the people had loved their freedom more, or even understood what was going on. So that is critical now, that we have a clear understanding of what's at stake. Because when people say, well, I'm doing this or that, like getting the jab or whatever, because I don't want to lose my job, or I don't want to do this or that, or I want to be able to travel and I want things to go back to normal. Well, you need to understand, getting the jab is not going to make things go back to normal. They've already shown us that with the 2-week lockdown a year and a half ago, and, you know, masks and this and that, that just never went away, right? So massive non-compliance is first and foremost important, but also this is critical. Defend your home.
Yes.
If they come to your door and they are trying to kill us, make no mistake about it, then you have every right and, in fact, an obligation that if they're coming to the door to take you away or your children away, it is time to pull out the guns. And I'm just going to say that very clearly. You know, this nonviolent approach and being passive, they are trying to kill us. When they come to your door, that is your home, that is your fortress. You need to fight back. And
yes,
actually, you need to take lives. That is what is going to happen. And it's like Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, if those operatives had gone out with this concern that they might not make it home, the whole thing might have stopped in its tracks. So that's where we're at. But, you know, in addition to that, massive non-compliance. Do not get the jab. I think it is the mark of the beast. And if you have already had the jab and you're listening to this, don't take any booster shots. do what you can to stay healthy. And there are, you know, lots of people are putting out good information about how you can do that. There's no guarantees, but anyway, don't take any more booster shots. Understand what's going on. They are trying to kill us. We are in a war and we need to fight back, and we will win this war. We will come out strong and alive. And it's because they're coming after our children, that is where the rubber hits the road, or whatever that expression is. People, that's their greatest instinct is to protect their young. So really, our opponents are very stupid going after our children, because we will rise up. And, oh, there, thank you. The rubber meets the road. Okay.
The road met that rubber. I think that's fabulous. You know, earlier, about a week or so ago, but maybe more before I went down to Alabama, I read this article out of the Free Magnolia, which is the voice of the Southern life and culture. It's the League of the South paper. There was an article in there by the William Allsworth. It says, "A Rifleman's Response." This should give you some idea. He talked about interposition of the lesser magistrate. So I'm going to kind of go off of what he said, the interposition of the lesser magistrate. I'm going to start by this, and I'll ask, this is a rhetorical question. I'm asking this to Miss Monica and to Cam and to our audience. You know, if you had a bunch, if you had a black drug gang or Mexican drug gang coming to your door and they said, we want your money, we want your wife and your daughters, and you got to give them to us because it's law. You know, we make the laws now, and what we say goes, so you have to give that to us. Well, basically, people, this is Eddie Miller talking, and I think most people will recognize this. What we have basically in Washington, D.C., in the central government, we have a drug gang. They're not all black, they're not all Mexicans, but just about to the man, the ones that are raising all the hell, according to Inspector Jim Rothstein, the majority of them are one or a combination of one or more of the following: pedophiles, Satan worshipers, drug dealers, just out-and-out criminals, wife abusers, children abusers of their own daughters. They're the scum, the dregs of the earth. They have totally taken over what we used to have, a free representative republic. We have no, when I say we, I'm talking about white people in the United States, the same as in Canada, really. We have no reputation, no representation anymore whatsoever. We know these people are criminals. We know they do not go by the law. We know that the law and order, the justice system has been destroyed. So basically what we're dealing with here, people, is a gang of thugs that have control of the military. They have this homosexual, this four-star general, Milley, in there, is pushing all this LGBTY, all this perverted freak sex crap down the military's throat. He's making them, bringing them, you know, critical race theory, all this crap, all this stuff. So why, people, I'm asking you a question, why would you obey any dictates from those people? Why would you do what they say? Therefore, I say, I'm gonna double down what Miss Monica said. We need to totally ignore these people. We need to leave them one way or another. We need to, people talk about, what do they call that, secede from the union. We need to secede one way or the other. And I say, I'm going on the limb, any way you can get out of paying your taxes, don't do it. Prepare, you know, if you can do something, work under the table, anything you can do to starve the beast. Because, you know what, I know they hate me, people like these saying this, but we're talking solutions here. It's no longer, we no longer have the luxury of just trying to, you know, speak softly. These people, like Miss Monica said, are coming to kill us. God knows they've made it plain. It's even in their literature. We have to resist them. It's time to refuse to be arrested. When the drugs, when the Bloods and the Crips and the what have you come to your door, they're not arresting you. When the so-called federal government comes and they put our people in prison in Charlottesville, they have not been arrested. They have been captured. They've been, our guys who are in prison in Charlottesville, all these people, Dr. Hill, they're persecuting him now. They're not legal people. They're not a law legally commanded government. They're a bunch of criminal thugs. We have to resist them with every blood cell in our body. Any way you can, you have to resist these people because they're going to kill you.
Back with you, Ms. Monica. Absolutely. There is no political solution now. The government is the enemy of the people. The so-called representatives are puppets to the hidden government and also called the permanent government. So when these elections happen every 2 or 4 years or whatever, that is just show, because those are the puppets that get into power. It is the hidden government that is the permanent government, and it doesn't matter who gets in your district or whatever. They are a criminal gang. In fact, the largest criminal gang is the government. That is the way it is now. It might not always have been that way, but that is the way it is now in our countries, our white countries, or formerly, you know, predominantly white countries, which are quickly being, where we're quickly being replaced. And they are in a race to do so. But we are rising up. And when I say there's no political solution, and, you know, people are talking about the elections, we just had a federal election here just a few days ago, in fact. And really, it means nothing in terms of, oh, maybe we'll have a change. No, I mean, I ran into a friend the other day who was just so upset about the election results. And I was trying to tell him that really, if your favored candidate had gotten in, it really wouldn't have made any difference because he would have been controlled. And he said, no, I know this man. I used to be in the military with him. That he was talking about Aaron O'Toole, the leader of the Conservative Party of Canada. I was quite surprised because I've never met anybody that actually knows this man personally. And he said, no, he's got integrity. He's honest. And I said, well, maybe, maybe at that time when you knew him and you were working with him in the military, in the Air Forces, I think it was, and they did heroic things together, maybe at that time he had integrity and maybe he was honest, and maybe he still is personally, but I can guarantee you that if he came to power now, he would not be able to do what he desired to do. He will be 100% controlled by that hidden government, that hidden hand. And this man, this friend of mine, he was adamant that no, he would have integrity. He would always stay honest. And, you know, he might try and like to do that. And if he was going to do that too well, he would get assassinated. You know, I mean, that. So there is no political solution now. It is going to be community by community that we organize ourselves. You know, we don't need them, actually, because we, without the parasite, we create things, we build things. I'm not talking about me, myself, and I, that I can, you know, build a road or, you know, be a car mechanic, but I'm talking about our people. We do these things. We create and we build, and the parasite, which has taken over the governments of our countries, they leech us dry. So really, we don't need them. And Eddie, you are absolutely right, spot on in your comments, that we must not obey all these draconian rules. And we should try our best to go in the underground, you know, cashless economy. Know your local farmer, trade goods, trade services within your community. Those kind of things, those are things you can do, that we can all do. So, yeah, I'll pass it over back to you.
Yes, ma'am. We're about out of time, but Miss Monica, if you will hang on, I kind of like you and me to take some of this up with Gene. Gene, when we come back on the second hour, he's got a lot to tell us about the reinterment of the one and only the late, great General Nathan Bedford Forrest and his wife. We'll talk about that. They had to move the grave out of Memphis because these feral animal blacks and these communist Satan worshiping whites in Black Lives Matter. They were desecrating the grave. They're desecrating the statues. But hang on, we'll continue what you just talked about on the second hour, and I'm sure we'll have plenty of time for you and me and Gene to talk about that. People, okay. You're listening to Blood River Radio. I'm Eddie the Bombardier Miller. You just had Miss Monica Schaefer on. We're going into the second hour. We're going to bring up my brother, Gene Andrews. So hang on to your seats. Be right back.